Today's topic is again around the Word of God. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Father, as always, we thank you for the entrance of your word brings light. We ask that that light will shine in our hearts, giving us understanding, giving us instruction, giving us wisdom. We give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 23:23 is where our text is taken from for today's lesson. And let's consider that verse. Let's read it together. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. You know, so what is this telling us? Well, it means that get the truth at all costs. You know, what is the price that you're willing to pay to get the truth? We'll get into what the truth is in a minute. But what is the price that you are willing to pay to get the truth? And once you get it, this scripture is telling you, do not sell it at any price. So, you know, get it by all means, but don't sell it at any price. You know, that's kind of an interesting way to bring out a lesson here, you know, but we'll get into what all of that means in a bit. Now, the price that people are willing to pay for something, in other words, when you're trying to buy something, you know, or the price that you sell something for, usually indicates the value that you place on that thing. You know, when people are willing to pay something, when people do a yard sale or whatever, you know, they bring out this junk stuff from their garage. They try to sell them for $1, $2, $3 here. They don't put too much value on those things because they're junk. They've been there for a long time. And they don't really care. They're just trying to dispose of it. But if they have something really valuable, they wouldn't even put it out for sale. Like something, you know, a heirloom or something that's been in the family for a long time, or, you know, some treasure. You'll never find it out on their yard sale. They're not going to sell it at any price, you know. And they might sell some other things too at higher prices, and so on and so forth. So you get the idea. I mean, the price that you're willing to pay for something or you're willing to sell something at usually is an indication of, you know, what kind of value you think it's worth. So that's the first point we want to bring out today. If this verse that's talking to us about, since it's talking to us about buying the truth and selling it not, it's also saying along with the truth, you need to get wisdom, instruction, and understanding. We'll be talking about these four things: the truth, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. But what is the truth? I mean, what is the truth? Now, notice that he did not say, buy truth and sell it not. That's not what it said. Buy the truth. So there is a the truth, not just truth. Now, Jesus himself, you know, made this declaration in John chapter 14, and verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's right. You know, no one cometh to the Father but by him, he said. So Jesus is the truth. Now, we also know that Jesus, is also called the Word of God. In multiple places throughout the scriptures, we know that he's called the Word of God. So essentially, you know, we want to talk about this truth being the Word of God. In John chapter 17, verse 17, when Jesus was praying, he said, you know, in his prayer to the Father concerning his disciples, he said many things. But in verse 17 of that John 17, this is how he said it. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know, so Jesus clearly tells us what the truth is there. You know, and so it is important for us that we know what the truth is. And he says, for their sakes also I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And, you know, he was standing before Pilate, you know, talked about the truth also. He said, you know, Pilate said, what is the truth? You know, but, you know, we just kind of left it like that. You know, so the truth, in another place, Jesus was talking in John chapter 8 and verse 32. He said, you know, you shall know the truth, and the truth, you know, is going to make you free. Now, knowing the truth is important, because that's what Jesus said here, and the truth shall make you free. Now, the truth by itself doesn't make anybody free unless you know it. That's what John chapter 8 verse 32 is talking about. It's just like we've talked many times about the promise. The promise by itself, given without you knowing that it was given, was not a promise, because you didn't know anything about it. So you got to know what was said before you can call it a promise. You know, the same thing with the truth. The truth by itself doesn't set anybody free. But I mean, if the truth by itself set people free, then everybody would be free, because the truth is always there. But no, everybody is not free. It is the truth that we know that can set us free or make us free. Now, there's a lot of preaching and so forth, you know, today in contemporary circles, even on this app, you know, but there is a caution from the scriptures. You'll find that in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, which I've also alluded to in this room many times. To the law and to the testimony. So that means always go back to the word. If they speak not according to this word, you know, then it means there is no light in them. And, you know, so God is not a part of anything that does not have light, or that is not composed in light. Because 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 tells us that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So let's put Isaiah 8:20 in the back of our minds as we go through this. To the law and to the testimony. This is what they had in the Old Testament. If they speak not according to this word, then there's no light in them. So get away from it. You know, so it is our responsibility to figure out the truth. It's our responsibility to discern what people are saying, whether it is according to the word of God or not. You know, not everybody that stands up to preach, even in the name of the Lord, will be telling the truth according to God's word. You know, some, you know, some just don't know. Some know, but they won't do it because of whatever reasons. Some people are, you know, can't do it because they don't want to run off the crowd, because if you run off the crowd, then the people who are going to give you a donation will be fewer. You know, so when people are thinking about their pockets, I'm talking about preachers now, they can't, some of them will not be able to preach the truth the way it should be, because they might offend some, and those people might leave, and there goes their donations when they leave. You know, so everybody has their motives for whatever it is they're doing. And it is our responsibility, your responsibility, my responsibility, not only to speak the truth in love, but also make sure that what we are hearing is the truth. And Jesus warned about blind leaders leading the blind, both of them following to the ditch. And I often say that, well, they're not going to both fall into the ditch if at least one of them is not blind. You know, assuming the leader is blind, well, the person being led does not have to be blind. Open your eyes wide. Discern for yourself whether what they say is true. Jesus, you know, he actually, you know, admonished the people, invited them to search the scriptures. In John 5:39, said, look, search the scriptures, see whether these things I say. And so, and these things, you know, scriptures testify of me. You search the scriptures. We're told about the Berean church that they, you know, they listen to the word of God, but they went and searched the scriptures. So it's always back to the law and testimony. Now that's where the truth is at. It's in the word of God. Now, Jesus promised us that when the Holy Spirit comes, he was telling the disciples in John chapter 16 and verse 13, when the Holy Spirit comes, he said he will guide you into all truth. You know, so the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Now, it needs to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You know how they do it on the witness stand. You know, they come up to the witness stand in a litigation case or whatever, court case. And the witness, they say, well, raise your hand. And you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Well, that's interesting, though. You know, one time I thought about it. That's actually interesting. The truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. Now, the whole truth is necessary because half-truths are very dangerous. You know, half-truths, when you don't know the full truth, could be very dangerous. We see that right away in the Garden of Eden at the very beginning. Because Eve did not stay with the whole truth. She allowed the serpent to give her half-truth and mix it in with something else. You know, so, yeah, God told you that, but that's not really what he meant. You know, I mean, this is really what he was trying to hide from you and so forth. So, you know, put out a little truth, but mix it in with a little leaven. Jesus said, look, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So I want to talk about that too. You know, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is like, you know, leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal and mixed it all up until the whole thing was mixed up. Now, that's the, you know, that's what Jesus said is the kingdom of God. Like, and many people look at that, you know, parable, right, and think that, I mean, Jesus is talking about something good. No, he wasn't talking about something good. Leaven is never good. Well, let's read it in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. I've heard people, you know, some people try to think that, oh, you know, this is, you know, how, you know, the gospel moves, you know, and so forth. Not at all. This is evil. Every time Jesus talked about leaven, it was something evil. He warned them about the leaven of the Pharisees. You know, Paul wrote in many places in the scriptures that we should be careful, you know, even of leaven. Purge out the old leaven, Paul will say, because you are, you know, a new lump, and get that stuff out of there. And so leaven was never used to describe anything good. It was always evil. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 or 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. What God wants, it's unleavened. Pure. That's the whole truth. Right? The truth, the whole truth, but not everybody truth. Now, if you cook a wonderful, luscious, delicious meal, I mean, the aroma fills the whole room. It's looking good, so inviting, so delicious, you know, and so forth. And you set it on the table and you put just a little bit of poison in it. The whole thing is poison. You don't need the whole food to be poisoned before it is poisoned. A little poison in that food. And that's exactly what the devil does. He knows that he cannot serve you something on the table with a bottle that says poison in it and put it right in front of you. He knows that, right? It's an old, wily devil. It's very shrewd. So he's not going to serve poison, kind of, you know, and label it poison and expect everybody to eat it. He knows better than that. What he'll do is take a little bit of truth and then put a little bit of poison inside of it. And then the whole thing is leavened, you know. In fact, in the story that Jesus told in this Matthew 13:33, you know, it was actually 3-1, you know. That's how Jesus told it. He didn't, the whole thing was not 100% leaven. It was just a little bit of leaven. As a matter of fact, kingdom of heaven is unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. So there was already 3 measures of meal. So maybe it was just a little leaven and he just put it in there. And that's why Paul said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know, so what are we saying here? We're saying that the whole truth means the whole truth. We cannot take the word of God, add a little bit to it. And unfortunately, many well-meaning people do that. Many believers filled with the Holy Spirit mean well, looking for the coming of the Lord and doing the best they can, you know, so forth. But, you know, we allow a little leaven, just a little leaven in there. How is that? Well, because we want to please somebody. I don't know. Maybe, you know, whatever the thing is, you know, but we allow little leaven, you know, just a little bit of leaven. We don't purge out the old leaven. We don't purge out everything. So a little leaven. Why am I taking my time? Because Holy Spirit said, you know, just hammer on this one. Galatians 5 and verse 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You don't need the whole lump to be leaven. You just need to put a little leaven in it. And everything is leavened. You know, so when we take the truth of God's word, but we allow some mistruth, some myth, and some other thing there that's not really part of it, then everything is leavened. Yes, it's like the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ is what has added, you know, leaven in so many places, you know, because people think of Christ as, you know, someone less than the eternal God himself. And they think of Christ as the second person in the so-called Trinity, or think of the Holy Spirit as his third person in the so-called Trinity. I mean, all these things, I don't know where they got all these things from. It's a little leaven, you know. Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. The Lord thy God is one Lord, not three lords. It's one. Now that, you know, That one is a little leaven that has leavened a lot of stuff. Now, there's other leavens. You know, little here, little there, little here, little there. I've talked about some of them, tried to debunk them from the, in this room over time, you know. And so, you know, anytime people say, well, that doesn't really matter. I've heard that before. Anytime people say, well, that doesn't really matter, you know, well, that's maybe a little leaven. If you allow a little leaven in, it'll leaven the whole lump. So we need to have spiritual discernment and have your senses exercised. We're told to discern both good and evil. Have your spiritual antennas up all the time, you know, and figure out what is being communicated or being said. Because, you know, these words that are being communicated or taught, they have tremendous power. And if you're not careful, you know, in taking, you know, some of this stuff that is just designed to muddle up the waters, well, muddled up the waters they will be. You know, and we'll end up with muddled up waters. You know, so in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, the last verse, verse 14, says strong meat belong to them that are of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And, you know, the scripture admonishes us, you know, to check out everything. That's what the Bible says. Prove all things. You know, you got to prove all things. Don't just take anything hook, line, and sinker. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Well, but you need to also abhor that which is evil. Get it out of your system. So that's what the truth, the whole truth is. And nothing but the truth is also the same thing. Don't embellish it. Don't embellish it. You know, don't add anything to it. You know, so add not to his words, lest he reprove thee. Let's not add anything to the word of God. In fact, in the book of Revelation, we are warned, you know, that anyone that added to these things, you know, the Lord will add to him also the plagues that are written in the book. So we are warned. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 6 says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Don't add anything. Say it like it is. You know, God told them, look, you know, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will speak to him in dreams, visions, and so forth. And, it, you know, he that hath my word, let him tell it faithfully. If you have a dream, tell a dream. If you have a vision, tell a vision. Don't embellish anything, you know, but tell it faithfully. Hallelujah. You know, if you have the word of God, you know, then tell it faithfully. And if you cannot tell it faithfully, then you have no business telling it at all. You know, there's a lot of people that try to preach the word of God that have no business preaching the word of God because, you know, they've already compromised their position. They do not, they have already given up their allegiance to the word of God. You know, our allegiance is to his word, not to how somebody will think or somebody will feel. You know, you got to preach the word the way it is. Jesus was always preaching the word. And Paul even said, look, if I should yet please men, I cannot be the servant of the Lord. You know, we can't preach the word to please people. You know, who must we please? You know, must please the one that sent us. That's what Jesus said. You know, he said, look, my mission is not to do my own thing or speak my own words, but to preach the word and of the word of the person that sent me. Now, so if you have the word of God, and you know, this is to people also who, you know, try to preach the word and things like that. you know, let's make sure that we speak the word of God faithfully. And I will give us some stories here in the Bible in a minute. Some lessons where some people, you know, compromised their position and it didn't quite end well with them. You know, so in the book of Jeremiah chapter 23, before I go there, you know, let me read this to us in Jeremiah 23 verse 28. You know, it says, look, if you have a dream, tell a dream. You know, if you don't have the interpretation, just tell it as it is and leave it alone. Don't try to tell the interpretation when you don't know the interpretation. You know, some people have a dream, they share the dream, they don't know the interpretation, but then they try to say what the interpretation is. And a little leaven will leaven the whole lump, mess up the whole dream. Jeremiah 23 and 28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. If you have a dream, tell the dream. You know, don't say what the dream didn't say. Just say it the way it is. Maybe God gave the dream to you. Maybe he gave the interpretation to somebody else. But if he gave you the interpretation, then say it also. You know, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is chaff among the wheat, saith the Lord? You know, chaff among the wheat is a little leaven among three measures of meal, saith the Lord. We don't want any chaff. We don't want chaff among the wheat. We want the real thing. You know, so buying the truth and selling it not means, look, what is the price you're willing to pay to get the truth? I mean, some people go long distances to hear the word of God. You know, we've seen people that do that. In fact, in our congregation, locally here in Phoenix, Arizona, we have a family that comes to church and drive over 60 miles to come there. And they've been doing it since day one. You know, they've been with us and they, you know, they said, look, we know the word of God is in this place. And I'm sure they passed by dozens of churches along the way. Well, that's their choice. That's what the price they will pay. You know, they drive all that. Some people will not even drive 5 minutes to go to church. There's some people who won't go to church anymore because of this excuse of, that came in during COVID, and they will just stay at home and say, well, yeah, I'm a stay at home worshiper now. You know, what does that even mean? You know, there's an opportunity to worship, you know, using media, I mean, to a fellowship rather. But I tell you what, there is nothing like meeting in person. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews, and tell it to us in Hebrews 10 and 35. Look, whatever you do, make sure that, you know, don't cast away your company. Where is this one? I picked up the wrong one here. Anyway, you know, do not forsake the assembly of one another, you know. So whatever we do, don't forsake the assembly of one another. Don't say, oh, I don't want to go to church, you know, and so forth. Hebrews 10, 25. Don't forsake the assembly of one another and then stay at home. That's not a good thing. You know, so get together as the Bible says it. But you got to find a really good place, too, that's teaching the word, that's right there with the word, and they're not compromising. And sometimes, you know, you may not find that. But if you do your due diligence, I'm sure you'll find such. So anyway, we're talking about the truth. Now, you will also notice that in Ephesians chapter 6, that when Paul was describing the weapons of our warfare and the armors you should put on, you know, and all these things, when he tell you to suit up, well, you notice that the very first thing he talks about is truth. you know, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14, he talks about it when he says, look, stand in the name of the Lord, be strong in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God and stand against the wiles of the devil. But wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Take unto you, therefore, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And what's the first thing he talked about? Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. You know, so this truth is the word of God. Without it, everything else, you know, breaks down. Now, selling it means compromising it. You know, what price are you willing to pay for your birthright even? There was a man that sold his birthright. And later on, you know, he wept a great deal to get it, but he couldn't get it. It was called Esau. Well, what is the price we're able to pay? Even at the penalty of death, are we willing to compromise the word of God? We read the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just the other day. They wouldn't do it. In Daniel chapter 3, there's nothing you could make them, you know, to compromise their position. You can threaten that you're going to throw them in the fire, heat up the fire 7 times. It's not going to make a difference. You're going to stand right there with the word. The word already told them, thou shalt not bow down to any graven image or any of these things. And they're not going to do it. Praise the Lord. You know, so they will not sell the truth even for the price of their lives. They wouldn't do it. You know, so, but you've heard the saying that everybody has a price. Well, what is your price for your birthright? You know, because when people sell their birthright, the place where God put you to be, you know, when you compromise that position, it's like selling that birthright. So what is your price for your birthright? I have a lesson that I had prepared that I was going to speak on that one day. Maybe eventually someday I will speak on it, go into some more details about that. You know, many people in the scriptures that compromised, you know, the word of God. And most of the time it didn't end well for them. They knew what God had said, but then they add to it or allow somebody to detract them from it. You know, classic story that you see in 1 Kings 13 of the young prophet. The Lord told, do this, do that, but don't do this and don't do that. Don't stop by the way. Don't go to anybody's house. Don't do any of these things and so forth. Don't turn by the wayside. And he allowed himself to be deceived by some older prophet because he let down his guard. He could not be deceived by the king because he knew the king was, you know, not in the realm of faith. So, in fact, the king was one of the people he went to speak against. So when the king tried to invite him to his house to even give him a reward, he wouldn't do it. But when an older prophet, a big brother, came along to try to, you know, tell him something, he let down his guard. Because, oh, it's a man of God. In fact, it's a great man of God. You know, and someone that, you know, revered in the society. So he let down your guard. You know, he let down his guard. And it did not end well for him. So don't let down your guard, no matter who is speaking. I don't care whether they're a prophet. In fact, Paul said, even if an angel came down from heaven and told you something different, he said, well, let him be accursed. Yeah, that's how seriously Paul didn't mess around with this thing. He put it right there. So I don't care whether they are a prophet, apostle, angel. Paul said, look, if they try to get you away from the truth, then let them be accursed. I mean, that's how serious the truth. We need to take the truth. You know, I'm going to also in a bit talk about wisdom, instruction, and understanding. But I want to deal on this truth subject because it's so vital. There are some stories also, like the story of Balaam in Numbers 22. Some of you may know the story. But if you don't know, you should read it. It's an interesting story. You know, so, you know, Balak had asked Balaam to come and curse Israel. And the Lord, and he went and asked the Lord, and the Lord told him, no, can't do it, because they are blessed people, you can't curse them. So he already knew the word of God, that he can't do that. But the king kept promising him more reward and more reward and more reward. And then he went back to, and I'm like, is this guy actually crazy? You know, and he went back to the Lord to see again what God would say. God already told you not do it. What are you going back to ask him for? You know, but maybe the reward of unrighteousness, maybe the greed in his heart, the promise of this and that. He went back to the Lord, you know, and the Lord said, okay, fine. You know, you go. But let me tell you something. Let's put it out this way. Let me say to everyone that's in this room today, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot make God change his word from his righteousness. Now, you know, his righteousness and his holiness, he can't make God change his word. That's who he is. And if you try to do it, he might kill you for it. God already told this man, don't do it. And he kept asking, and God said, fine. You know. But when he went, the angel of the Lord was there to slay him. And the angel of the Lord would have killed him, if not for the donkey or the ass that, you know, saw the angel, the prophet. I told the mad prophet did not even see the angel. You know, his greed had blinded his eyes. God told you, don't do it. Don't change his word. And if you think you can, he might kill you for it. You know, it's an interesting story to see that the Lord said, okay, fine, go. But then the angel of the Lord was right there trying to kill him for going, you know. So this is very serious subject. Stay with the word of God and don't sell it at any price. Even if they offer you half the kingdom. This man was offered all kinds of things. Stay right there with the word. And you know, there are a few prophets in the Bible that did not stay with the word of God. Probably because of popularity, you know, and so on. And, you know, we see many things today as well. Now, in the book of 1 Kings, you know, chapter 22, I'm going to tell you two quick stories here. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 22, well, there is a story here of many prophets, right? And this one was Zedekiah versus Micaiah. It's a story like that. And in this particular place, you know, many prophets and everybody else was saying one thing, right? Micaiah was saying a different thing because he heard the truth from the word of God. You know, so this story was the one where, you know, the king of Israel at the time, which was Ahab, you know, asked, you know, Jehoshaphat to go to battle with him. And Jehoshaphat said, well, you know, let's inquire of the Lord. And so they inquired of the Lord, so to speak. You know, they brought the prophets and all the prophets came and said, yeah, you know, go, for the Lord will deliver into your hands. You know, and there were about 400 men. 400 men. 400 men that said, go up. Now, the Bible actually says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So you don't need 400. You only need two or three. You know, so when 400 people are confirming the same thing, that should have told you that that was confirmed and accurate, because all you need is two or three witnesses. But this man had the spirit of discernment, this Jehoshaphat fellow. I mean, after 400 people said the same thing, this Jehoshaphat said, well, okay, that's all good, but isn't there a prophet of the Lord here besides? I mean, 400 people. Why don't you just take 400 people for it? There was something in this Jehoshaphat man. It's called discerning of spirits. He didn't quite, what they were saying did not agree with him, even though they were saying something good. Go, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now that's good, But yet Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord besides 400? How many more do you need? And we inquire of him. It's an interesting story. The king of Israel said to him, well, there is a, one prophet here, but the guy hates me. He never says anything good concerning me. And Joshua said, oh, okay, now let's calm down now. Let's not say that. Let's call him. Let's hear from him. So they brought Micaiah. And the persons that went and bring Micaiah are telling him, well, be sure now that you say everything like all the other people have said. The man said, well, no, I'm going to say whatever he puts in my mouth. That's it. I don't care what other 400 people have said. So he comes there and he said, well, shall I go or shall I forbear? And the man says it like in a tongue in the cheek. Of course, go, like all your prophets said, and prosper. And the king said, look, how many times have I told you that you should tell me only the truth and don't talk to me tongue in the cheek? He said, well, because I told you and you never listen anyway. And he told him the story. He said, look, I saw all Israel scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And he told him some other things also. He said, look, I saw the Lord had a council meeting. He said, who shall go up there to persuade Ahab that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? He told him some other things. And the king said, well, you see, that's why I told you that he never says anything good about me. And so this Zedekiah, who was like the chief of the prophets, came near, to Micaiah and slapped him. He made what we call a dirty slap. And he said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to talk to you? I'm the chief prophet here. Who gave you the right to come and speak in the name of the Lord when I'm here? And even, he did so many things. He did drama and so forth. And slapped the guy around. And then Micaiah said, you'll find out in that day whether or not the Spirit of the Lord told me. And you will go into a chamber and hide yourself. You'll be ashamed. Anyway, as it happened, the rest of the story. Micaiah versus 400 prophets. And he stood his ground. And he won. There was a time Elijah also, actually 850 in the case of Elijah, 400 prophets of the group and another 450 or vice versa, 850 altogether. One man versus that many. Well, they would not sell the truth at no cost. They're not going to go with majority carries the vote. People think majority, Jesus said, look, broad is the way that leads to destruction. There'll be many people that find it. So just because there's majority saying the thing doesn't make it right. And so 400 people were saying one thing. Micaiah was saying a totally different thing. And yet he was the one that was right. Isn't that interesting? So don't think that, just because this is a mega church or these are all the prophets gathered together. And they have a conglomeration now today of, all the churches, all the religions, everybody want to be one thing. We're all children of God, they are saying, and all these things. No, we are not all children of God. and it's not going to work. But, that may be the way that they are all going, and there may be numbers in there. But what is the price that you're willing to pay for the truth? There's another story. Now, this one that we just read is Zedekiah versus Micaiah. And there's another story in Jeremiah, chapter 28. Interesting story. Kind of similar story. Where, the political prophets were saying one thing. The things that were popular, right? The Lord is going to, you know, turn back the captivity. I mean, that's a popular, that's a nice statement, you know. Say the Lord's going to deliver you from the hand of the king of Babylon. In 2 full years, will I bring again into this place the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had taken away. I will bring them again, said the Lord. I mean, that's a great prophecy. That sounds good, actually. It's pleasing to the ears. I mean, prophecy that the Lord will restore. Whereas the Lord already told them that they will be carried away to Babylon. And so, you know, well, Jeremiah said, well, amen. You know, what am I going to say? I mean, I say amen to it. But if it is, and if it isn't, we will find out, you know. So this one was the Hananiah versus Jeremiah drama. Okay, the other one was, you know, Zedekiah, what was his name, versus Micaiah. All right, so here, well, the man said, look, God is going to bring this captivity back. He said, look, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. That actually sounds like a good thing. You know, but here's what Jeremiah said. Look, the prophets that have been before you and me, they spoke evil of this place and so on. Now, when another prophet comes and speak a peace, whereas the word of the Lord that went before said contrary, well, you know, when the word of that prophet shall come to pass, then it shall be known that the Lord has sent him. So Hananiah went forward and took the yoke from the prophet, because the Lord told Jeremiah to wear this yoke, you know, as a sign of the bondage that Israel will go through, and that those who go put their necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, they will actually be saved physically. They will be spared. They won't die. But if they refuse to go, they will die. And so, you know, but a better and smoother and nicer through the ear prophecy was like, God will break the yoke. So, but he said, okay, fine. So he took the yoke, he broke it off the neck, you know, of Jeremiah, and he did all kinds of things. I mean, look, Jeremiah said, okay, fine. But, you know, at the end of the day, it didn't work out like the false prophet was doing. Jeremiah stood right there with the word of God, and he was right. You know, and sometimes popularity will make us a popular, you know, and so forth. You know, and I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor and a preacher of the word of God too. You know, so these same things, you know, I'm subject to the same things. I have to be careful. I mean, it is popular. I mean, messages of prosperity are the most popular thing. I mean, in fact, you know, and I preach some of those things sometimes too, but I have to preach it when the Lord tells me to, you know, and, but anytime you preach that stuff, that's good stuff. You know, everybody loves that, you know, but when you preach, you know, some of these other things, like, look, you got to stay with the word of God. You know, you got to stay with the true doctrine of Christ and debunk some of these other truths. It may be too hard for people to swallow, you know, but everybody loves you when you preach prosperity. You know, in fact, if we go down to the church in our local assembly, if you really want to get people to shout and scream and holler, you come out there with a message of prosperity. And you're going to get a lot of shouting. You're not even going to need to ask people to say amen. They'll be screaming and shouting, you know, but you preach some sobering message like, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the spiritual slumber, you know, and do the things that God's calling you to do at this time. Oh no, you not get a peep out of anybody, you know, so because those messages are not popular. But prosperity, what the Lord is doing, that stuff's popular. And that Lord may actually be saying that. It's not that it's not that God doesn't say those things. And God does say those things. You know, for instance, the things that I believe God's told us for this year. However, we must balance the word of God all the time. So that's the that's the part of truth, you know, versus how do you sell the truth? Selling the truth means compromising the word of God, either for popularity, either for, you know, to go along with the crowd, or yield to, you know, a bigger apostle, a bigger prophet. I mean, we've seen all these stories, you know, in the Bible, you know. But these, right out of the book of Proverbs, he said, look, buy the truth, sell it not. But also along with the truth, make sure you get wisdom. Make sure you get instruction. And make sure you get understanding. So let me talk briefly about wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Now, some of you may know that, you know, I have a wisdom series, the Pillars of Wisdom that I taught. I mean, powerful stuff, you know, that should guide our lives. You know, so if you never heard it before, you should seek it out. Powerful stuff. Pillars of wisdom. The attributes of wisdom on one side, pillars of wisdom on another side. Powerful stuff. But let me just pick out a few things today about wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Because that goes along with Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23. You know, so let's look at a few scriptures about instruction. What is instruction? Well, before I go there, let's read 2 Timothy, you know, chapter 3 and verse 16. Here's what he said. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So we can use scripture for doctrine, you know, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction, righteousness. So scripture is rich with instruction, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, let's look at some instructions. I mean, Solomon was a man that wrote a lot about those things, but he was not the only one. But he wrote a lot about that. So I'll just read to you a few of his writings on the subject. You know, throughout the book of Proverbs, hardly any chapter that you read, especially the first dozen, talk about a lot of these things. You know, at the very beginning, even in Proverbs 1, you know, he says, look, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. So these three things are right there from the beginning. Wisdom, instruction, and understanding. And that's what he said again in Proverbs 23:23. He said, as part of your grabbing the truth and not letting it go, not at any price, make sure you also get wisdom, instruction, and understanding. And that's how it kicks off the book of Proverbs here. These three things, foundational. Well, what is the reason why he wrote these things? He said, in order for you to receive instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity and so forth. On and on and on. Let's read verses 7 and 8. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. For fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, my son, he said, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. So you can see how valuable instruction is. Let me just read a few verses about instruction. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law, and so on and so forth. You know, I like to consider myself not only a natural father, but as a spiritual father. And I always try to give instruction in righteousness and different things, and so instruction in faith. We've been doing that the last 4 days. Instruction in righteousness, instruction in staying with the word of God. That's what we're doing today. And so on and so forth. You know, these things are important. Instruction is so important. And instruction from the Lord The book, the entire book of Bible is full of instructions. In fact, an acronym for the Bible can be, you know, some people call it basic instruction before leaving earth, but yeah, I don't like that one. You know, I call it basic instruction book for living every day. It's an instruction book for living every day. You know, I'm not focused on leaving the earth. I'm focused on living for Christ here. So basic instruction book for living every day. That's my own acronym for the Bible. It's an instruction book. You know, some people talk about instruction manual. Well, everything is in this book. You know, from Genesis to Revelation, even stories, even anecdotal stories that are just there, are packed with instructions. So that is so key. Let's read Proverbs chapter 8. I'm going to read about 3 verses from there. First verse 10, and then jump to verse 33 or so. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 10. You know, Dan, this whole book of Proverbs chapter 8, of course, talking about wisdom and all of that. My son, Proverbs 8 and 10, receive my instruction and not silver. My knowledge rather than choice gold. Now, he's going to put side by side on this scale, instruction versus silver, knowledge versus gold. And he's telling you that instruction is a whole lot better and for you to be pursuing after silver. Well, actually, if you get instruction, you'll figure out how to get silver. But you might get silver and not have instruction, and then you'll lose it, and this last step will be worse than the first. You know, so, but if you get instruction, it can also be strategy. Get knowledge. So wisdom is better than rubies and all the things that may be desired and not to be compared to it. So we're talking about wisdom. We're talking about instruction. And I'm going to talk about understanding in a bit. It goes down here in verse 14. He said, look, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength and all these things. And this was the area we went when we went into the pillars. So, there are a few other scriptures I just want to read briefly on instruction, and then I'm going to go to understanding. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1. Again, many scriptures talking about instruction. Again, here I say, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but his scorner will not hear rebuke. Remember, the word of God is good for rebuke, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, if you will be wise, then hear the instruction of the Lord, you know, or instruction of your spiritual fathers. You know, Paul, you know, one time he said, look, you know, Corinthians, you know, all these people, you guys may have 10,000 instructors, but you have not many fathers. For I have begotten you in Christ through the gospel. So he's asserting himself that, look, you know, I'm your spiritual father. So you need to listen to me. In fact, Paul would say things like, follow me as I follow Christ. I mean, he was assuring himself that he was doing the right thing, and he put it out there. You know, you check it out. My ways, you know my ways, he said. You don't know how I do, and so forth, you know. And instruction is so key. And God has given us, even naturally in our natural lives, God has given us families. You know, and if you are blessed with godly parents, that's a blessing. You better listen to them. Praise the Lord. Now, so here again is even the psalmist, he got on this subject as well. You know, in Psalm 78, let's look at the first verse and see how, you know, but give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. That's instruction. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. You know, well, again, you know, that's to give you understanding, which you have not known and have not heard, you know, and so forth. You know, you heard about it, though, from our fathers, he said. Now, we will not hide them from our children. We will show even the generation to come to pass the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works which he has done. And so on and so forth. So instruction is so important. And there's instruction in this Bible for just about every aspect of life. It's so key that we should have it. What about understanding? You know, I mean, not to leave wisdom behind. I mean, wisdom is a whole topic by itself. I mean, I spent more than a week teaching the pillars of wisdom. You know, so, but what about understanding? Understanding is so key. You hear me say it just about every day on this platform. When I come in, I pray, you know, the entrance of your word, it's light and understanding. I say it every single day. Well, understanding, it comes from the entrance of God's word. It also comes from the inspiration of the Almighty. It's all the same. The Spirit of the Lord is not going to inspire you against the word of God. You know, it's going to be by the word of God. So let's take a look at how God gives us understanding. Well, we know understanding also comes by the word of God. You know, that's how that's why I prayed every day in the prayer. But let's look at what Job said here in the book of Job, chapter 33. Just read a few verses here. See how he said it. There's a way that God can seal instruction in your heart. Even while you're sleeping, you wake up the next day, there's a light bulb that went out. It's God that did it. Listen to this. Job chapter 33, verse 14. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceived it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night. While deep sleep falleth upon man and slumberings upon the bed. Then he opened the ears of man. Even subconsciously, you don't know. You are sleeping. And the Lord will seal instruction in your mind and your spirit even while you're sleeping. He puts it right there. Seal it there, instruction. You know. And why does he do it? Well, there's something he might put in you that will save your life even the next day. You know. He may withdraw man from his evil purpose. That's right. And hide pride from man. And keep your soul back from the pit. And your life from perishing by the sword. You know, you can put something in your mind and in your heart, even while you're sleeping. I think it can actually save you literally. You know, but instruction is so key. And then some of you have heard my favorite verse in Job 32, or at least one of my favorites. But my favorite when I'm on this subject, Job 32 and verse 8. And before this, you know, Elihu and, you know, was one of the friends of Job that gathered around him in his grief. And he was younger than the rest of them. So he waited for the older ones to speak. And he said, well, you know, I waited for you guys to speak because you are older than me. But, you know, I'm not sure that, you know, I'm not sure that you guys have spoken, you know, with wisdom. Said, I waited for days to speak and multitude of years to teach wisdom. I said, look, but that's not how it comes. I said, look, there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty is what gives them understanding. Great men are not always wise. Neither aged men always understanding judgment. You know, so doesn't always come by. And there's some things we learn by age. But this kind of understanding, it comes from the inspiration of the Lord. It can be even while you're sleeping and inspire instruction in your heart. Now, these four things you must get. With all your getting, you are told to get understanding. You must get the truth. You must get wisdom. You must hear instruction. And you must hear understanding. At all costs, whatever it will cost you, get it. And once you've gotten it, don't part with it. Don't give it up at any cost. There's an interesting scripture here in Luke chapter 22 and verse 36. where Jesus was saying, look, he sent out his disciples and he was telling them something here. And he would make an interesting subject. He said, look, when I sent you out before without purse and without script and shoes, did you lack anything? They said nothing. Okay, this is Luke 22 and verse 35. I said, okay, well, but this time around, I'm going to tell you something different. You know, if you have a purse, take it. If you have a script, take it. First time around, I said, well, when I sent you, I said, don't take any purse. Don't take anything. Go wherever, in any city, wherever you are, whatever they say before you eat, wherever they give you sleep, if they listen to you, good. Let your peace rest upon them. If they don't, shake off the dust off your feet when you leave and all that stuff. But he said, now I say unto you, he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. You know, he said, oh, sell your garments and buy a sword. You know, and of course, there are a lot of things that Jesus said. Many times he explains some of them. Sometimes he doesn't. And people get twisted up in many things. Even Peter, he said the same thing about some of the writings of Paul. He said some of his writings are difficult. And some people wrestle it to the destruction of their own souls, you know, as they do the other scriptures. So people say, well, Jesus telling me he had to go buy a sword. Well, maybe, but really not. Let's read the rest of it. For I say unto you that this is written, you know, written of me must be accomplished. It was reckoned among transgressors, and the things concerning me, you know, have an end. Prophesying again the things that I will go to. And so, you know, they said unto him, Lord, we have two swords here. Jesus just said, he laughed, said, well, it is enough. Well, if he wanted them to buy physical swords, two swords would not be enough because there were more than two of them. And he said, he that had no sword, let him buy a sword. So if there were 12 or 11 of them, they would need a sword for each person. And it would be each one of them should have a sword. So two swords would not be enough among 12. If that's what he was really talking about. But, you know, he just kind of left it. There are many things he left. He said, well, you, Holy Spirit will reveal them to you later on. You know, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. There you have it. Praise God. Paul would explain that in Ephesians chapter 6. You know, when he was talking about putting on this whole armor of God, you know, he explained that, you know, the sword that you need to take on is, from the word of God. That's how you do it. You know, so talk about all these armors and everything else that we need to put on. And he talked about in verse 17, he says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So buying a sword here is not necessarily a physical sword. It might be a physical thing, but it's way more than that, because only two among 12 or more would not have been enough, since he said, if you don't have one, buy one, so everyone should get one. But I believe it's a whole lot more than that. Jesus was using, sometimes he used some of these natural things to explain something in the spiritual. Well, go to any length. Sell your garments even to get a hold of the word of God. Go to any length to get the sword of the Spirit. Where you get it, don't part with it at any cost. That doesn't mean don't teach others, but it just means don't sell or compromise your position. Not for popularity, not for money, not for price, not for anything. Stay right there with the word of God. The blessings of doing that are found throughout the scriptures. God always stands by his word. And when you stay with that word, that implies God's going to stand by it for you. Now, if we are, you know, engaged in yo-yo kind of thing, and one day we take the word, the next day we don't, well, you know, we cannot then say that we are steadfast and unmovable. But the scripture calls for us to be steadfast and to be unmovable. So today's lesson, to wrap it up, is for us to get a hold of the Word of God at every cost. And if you find where there is the real Word of God, then don't miss out, because you're told to buy the truth at any price. Even if you have to sell your garments, get a hold of it. And once you got it, don't part with it at any price either. I mean, what is the price that you will pay for the truth? You know? And will you sell it for at a price? I mean, what's the value you place on the thing? Can someone offer you enough money to compromise your position? It may not even be money. It may be other things. It may be threats. You know, like they threatened this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with the penalty of their lives if they don't bow down. But they knew the word of God already said, I shall not bow down to any graven image or any such thing. And so they wouldn't do it. And they bought the truth, and they did not sell it at any price. And we've seen many others, even in contemporary situations, we've seen people that had to give their life for a statement and a declaration of their faith. Some of you are in this country, you might have heard of the Columbine shooting many years ago. There are other places where, even in my country, in Nigeria, where people have had to give their, some of them, slaughtered because they had to stand up for the faith, you know, by some of these crazy people that go after the cross. They're enemies of the cross, you know, and they would not, you know, they would stop at nothing. They want to destroy the truth of the gospel. And many people have been faced with situations. You can either deny, or you'll be thrown to the, you know, to the arena of lions. You know, that was in the early ages. They threw them over the fence, you know. But many of them would not give up their faith. They didn't care whether they were going to be stoned to death. They were actually listed, not all of them named one by one, but listed in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. So many of them, they were sawn asunder, they were this and that and so forth. You know, they went through so many things, but they did not give up their faith. Some of them were told they, you know, had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. They had bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword and so forth. You know, but they never sold the truth. They stayed right there with it, even when it cost them their lives. And that's a great weapon. Revelation 12:11 describes it. Three things it talks about there: the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and not giving up anything. You know, they would not even give up anything. They love not their lives. Jesus said, look, if you love your life to the point where you would rather have your life, you know, then you will lose it. But you will lose it for my sake, then you will gain it. And these ones that are overcomers at the end, this is what we need to be. We need to be determined in our hearts that we will not give up the truth for anything, no matter what it costs. And I'll be praying over the room in just a minute that the Lord will give us this kind of resilience and resolve and determination that we will not sell the truth, no matter what. And if you are in a business, in the marketplace, maybe an entrepreneur or whatever, there will be many challenges, temptations, and different things. And did you know that, you know, you can even be in government, you know, or politics or whatever. Whatever is your thing, will you compromise your faith? Will you bend the law a little bit to gain an advantage? I mean, Daniel, you know, the Lord promoted him and he, you know, he was great in sciences and so were his friends. I mean, they were children without blemish. They were among the princes. They understood sciences. They could learn the tongue of the Chaldeans and so forth. And they were promoted. But when it came down to it, they would not give up their faith just to retain that promotion. You know, they would not give it up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego suddenly did not give it up. And Daniel suddenly did not. Daniel was promoted to the chief of the presidents at the time. He was above all of them. And he was facing the threat of losing it all. On top of it, lose his own life. But he wouldn't do it. You know, he stayed right there with the word of God. Did not care what any commandment or anything said. Stayed right there with it. Praise the Lord. And you saw how the Lord stood by him and came through for him. Now, these people did not give up the truth, you know, for anything. There are some people that sold their birthright. Esau sold his birthright for a morsel of bread, you know. And later on, when he sought it carefully with tears, he couldn't get it. Unfortunately, he lost his birthright. Ladies and gentlemen, we are called to a high calling, and it carries also a birthright. Christ, the first fruits, and after that, everyone in his order. And we are next. And we have a place, joint heirs with Christ. But let's not give it up because of friendship with the world. Friendship with the world, we are told, is enmity with Christ. But even more subtle is the little leaven. So that's the summary of our lesson today. That little leaven sometimes do even worse than point blank poison that stares you in the face. But just mix up a little poison in the food and serve it up. It looks like food, but there's poison inside. You know, and that's how the devil is doing it. Give them three measures of the word, you know, but just mix up a little leaven inside of it. And so, ladies and gentlemen, let's be careful. Let's not think now that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Well, be careful now, because you might be selling the truth. And some people are not willing to stand up for the truth because it's not popular. Or you might be in an organization where they have their own creed. And the creed may be different from what the Word of God says. Well, what does the Bible tell you to do? To the law and to the testimony. They speak not according to this word, then it's because there is no light in them. And if you continue to follow blindly, just because that's what the leader said, well, you know, you end up with a place where there is no light and God's not there. You know, for 1 John 1:5 tells us God is light and in him is no darkness at all. A practice that has no light because they are not according to the word of God, God's not there. You know, it may look like God is there, but God's not there, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. We do a lot of good, but be sure that we clean that up. We got to clean it up. You know, you need to speak up against the evil practices, you know, and if they will not listen, put it on record and
come out of her, my people, the Bible said. Now, that's not always possible, and that's not always as easy as that, but, you know, it's on you. What price are you willing to pay for the truth? And at what price are you willing to give it up? Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over every listener in this room currently, or those that may listen to the replays later on, that you will expand this onto our hearts. Give us understanding what the Spirit is cautioning us even at this time. I pray that the inspiration of the Almighty will come to us through the reading of the Word of God. And as we meditate and hear the Word of God, give us, O Lord, the desire to search out whatever we hear to see whether these things be so. And if they be so, the Scripture says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, and abhor that which is evil. Help us, O Lord, to hold fast to that which is true according to your word, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I pray, Lord, that the elements of leaven, that's right, I come against the spirit of leaven, the elements of a little leaven that leavens the whole lump, I come against that spirit in our assemblies, in our organizations, in our groups and different things where we are. The Lord has commanded us to be the light. Hallelujah. And a city set on a hill cannot be hid. We must let our light shine. I pray that you give instruction in the hearts of your people to know how to discern between good and evil, between light and darkness, between truth and a little leaven, between the whole truth and something that is exactly not the whole truth. A lot of truth, but a little leaven inside. May the Lord help every one of us and give us understanding concerning all these things. Paul said, I speak as a wise man. The Lord give you understanding concerning the things that I say. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.